I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a terrific celebration, a time of being together, a family. It's a sensual experience with the smells of home, of turkey roasting, or for some Unitarians, tofurkey roasting. And it reminds us of childhood, of other festivals and celebrations. And it used to be kind of so simple. We had this wonderful story. We had the pilgrims, not the Puritans, but the pilgrims, who were persecuted religiously and decided that life and freedom was more important than life, that to undertake a journey, however hazardous, was worthwhile for the opportunity that their children would live in freedom, religious freedom and political freedom, that they risked everything, and many of them gave everything, moving from England to Holland, from Holland, an arduous journey across the Atlantic, and landing not in the southern part of America where they thought they were going. They were told about Miami, but they ended up closer to Boston. And this was a cruel surprise. And it was not easy. And well over half of them died in the first year. They literally gave up everything for a future that they could not share. And we celebrate that as something that is bold and commendable. We also celebrate that feast, not one day of Thanksgiving, but 3 days of Thanksgiving that they shared with the Native Americans, whom they mistakenly called Indians. One of my favorite lines from the American Indian movement is that when Columbus didn't know where he was going, didn't know where he got to when he got there, and named it the wrong name. But other than that, white men have been doing great. That feast was real. That cooperation was real. It is something to rejoice. The Native American Indians helped those first pilgrims plant crops, harvest crops, hunt the wild turkey, and they had a 3-day celebration with corn, with lobster, which was considered kind of a junk fish back then, and with turkey. And that's what we celebrated when I was a child. It was a wonderful fable, a wonderful myth, and it was true insofar as it went. When I was a kid and we would celebrate Thanksgiving, I could not help, even as a young person, thinking about the parallels to the Exodus of people who were born in slavery, who were enslaved for who they were ethnically and what they believed religiously, who were willing to give up everything and leave the flesh pots of Egypt and go across a desert where all of them perished without living in the promised land. Again, risking everything, giving up everything for the sake of a future, for the sake of their children, for the sake of their grandchildren, so that they might be who they were and live in peace and have their own identity and their own religious freedom. And so for me growing up, I always saw Thanksgiving as kind of the American secular Seder with all of these foods. Instead of matzah and a lamb bone, you had a turkey bone and stuffing, and you had iconic foods for both celebrations. The parallels are very close, and they get even closer when we look behind the fable and look behind the myths and go to the next part of the story, which was the pilgrims turning against the Indians and their children taking not simply the Indians' wisdom and how to deal with the land and how to hunt the wild turkey, but taking from the Indians their land and often their lives, their culture and their traditions. The same thing happens in the Exodus story. which tends not to get repeated in the movie versions, which is when the Hebrews go into taking the land of Canaan, the Bible is very clear. You shall, and here are the words, utterly destroy all of their shrines and all of their groves. This is the human story of our inhumanity. This is the terrible irony, not simply of one people back then or one people at the founding of this nation, but of almost all peoples and all cultures and all traditions. This is our human original sin, that the persecuted, the oppressed, do not necessarily benefit with insight and compassion and tolerance from their own suffering. We know this now with our sophisticated psychological thinking. We know that abused children, instead of eschewing abuse or any semblance of it, not inevitably, but too often, become abusers because we live what we learn. We live what we experience. We pass on, automatically, if we don't think about it, literally the sins of our fathers and mothers, of our parents, of their prejudices. We are taught to hate and taught to fear and taught to carry on those traditions. And human communities do that all too often and all too well. But it's not inevitable. It is not inevitable that we carry on hate and prejudice and fear of the others. And I do not mean it to be a buzzkill or a guilt rap about Thanksgiving, because we need to reclaim it in its fullness. Yes, the mythic parts are fine. The iconic parts are good. But we need to understand the rest of the story, because we can't know where we're going if we don't know where we've been. It's hard to escape the sins of the past if we will not examine them. One of the great lines of therapy is, therapeutically, we human beings have before us a choice of repeat or repair. And my suggestion is that we can repair Thanksgiving by owning the full story, by accepting the fact that those pilgrims and their children and we, their descendants, whenever our families came over, were still their descendants, have choices about understanding where we have been and understanding how we have transferred and carried out a cleansing of history. And we need to have the full history to understand ourselves and our society. Socrates says, know thyself. Well, know thy humanity. Know thy inhumanity. Know thy history. And we can make tomorrow better and different. There was a promise that was given at that first Thanksgiving, a promise that I believe was made in good faith, that we would learn from each other, that peoples with different gods sharing the same nature, the same reality, could come together for one day, for 2 days, for 3 days of feasting together, sharing together, living our motto of not having to think alike or worship alike in order to love and celebrate alike, and they did for 3 days. It means that we can do it also, that we can open up our minds and our hearts to learn how to love, how not to reject the stranger, how to learn from each other and be enriched by each other. That the automatic pilot of humanity, which is to see the other and the different and to take what you want, is an automatic pilot that we can, by act of reason and will, choose not to do. We can extend 3 days to 3 months to 3 years. We can learn to open up ourselves so that there is real thanksgiving for the opportunities that we have to enjoy the bounty of the earth, to enjoy everything that is before us, and the enormous power that we have to say yes to other people, to say yes to other cultures, to say yes to other ideas. We may shrink at first from strangeness and other, from customs, from languages, from alphabets, from their foods. But when we stop and think through and use our reason to understand the common humanity that is beneath all of those surface traditions, we can make a Thanksgiving that lasts longer than 3 days. We can make a Thanksgiving that takes the fable and the myth and turns it into reality. We can take heart and inspiration from what human beings were able to do once for one brief shining moment. And that's an intentional quote, because yesterday was Bobby Kennedy's birthday and tomorrow's the anniversary of JFK's assassination. We live in brief and shining moments. And while we have our brief moments in the light in this wonderful universe, we can choose to make peace, to open our hearts, to make a difference so that more and more people will be invited to the table of Thanksgiving in this nation and all over the world.